God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, our gospel lesson recorded in Matthew chapter 7. In the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our eternal salvation, dear fellow redeemed. So tell me, anybody remember what Mount Olive was doing about 4 years ago to the day? What big event were we looking forward to celebrating in the fall of 2018? Yeah, we were about to celebrate and dedicate to God our new gym and our early learning center. Right, we were looking forward to those spacious classrooms and a gym that was bigger and higher than we'd ever had before. But you realize before we could enjoy any of that, there was some groundwork that needed to be laid, right? You remember how that looked? It started with some construction workers digging deep and then pouring some cement to create some rock-solid footings. Footings on which the entire structure would be based. I mean, without that kind of foundation, without those footings, I mean, if we would have just started laying bricks on the dry ground, how long do you think that building would have stood? Not very long. For a building to stand the test of time, it needs to be built on a rock-solid foundation. We realize that that principle of construction applies to more than just physical structures. It also applies to human lives. If we want to enjoy a life that lasts a long time, I mean like into eternity, then we have to think about the question, what are we building our lives on? What will serve as the foundation for everything we think and say and do? That's the point that Jesus makes in our text for today, where Jesus offers us this advice. Build your life on a rock-solid foundation. The Word of God that we have before us is basically the last paragraph of a sermon that Jesus preached, known as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the evangelist records this dissertation that Jesus has with his disciples as they're on the side of a mountain. It starts with a familiar Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn. And then Jesus goes on to describe how Christians are to live their lives as children of God. He begins by taking some of the Old Testament commandments and kind of expanding on them and applying them to our lives. He says, for example, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Or again, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This whole sermon is basically an expression of God's moral law. What God expects Christians to do and not do. He says, for example, do not worry. Do not judge. Do not store up treasures here on earth, but rather store treasures in heaven. And love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In fact, maybe the most familiar commandment of all is sometimes called the golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. That's the Sermon on the Mount. It's kind of this extended expression of God's will for our lives today. In fact, he goes on to talk about, what about people who say they are followers of Jesus, but never actually follow his commandments? In the section right before our text for today, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Away from me.'" You realize what that's a reference to. He's talking about Judgment Day, when he will banish false believers from his presence forever. Well, it's against that backdrop of all these expectations that God has for his people and these warnings about simply paying lip service to God that Jesus now offers this illustration to kind of wrap everything up, this illustration of these two builders. Now, I want to read these words again, and as I do, I want you to listen for two things. First, what do these two builders have in common? And then, how are they different? Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So what do these two men have in common? Well, they both built a house, and their houses were both severely tested in three directions, right? The rain comes down, and the streams rose, and the wind beat against it, and then you have your first difference, namely, what happens to each of them? The wise man house stands. But what happens to the foolish man's house? It fell with a great crash. Why? Was it because the wise man built with like bricks and mortar and the foolish man was like those two pigs that built with straw and sticks? No, actually, Jesus doesn't say anything about their house. I mean, they could have built exactly the same house. The difference is not what they built with, but what they built on. Jesus says the wise man's house did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock, literally on the bedrock. That's what made the difference. Two different foundations, two different results. Now, I don't think it's hard to understand this illustration, right? I mean, even my little grandson learned pretty quickly that when you build the little house on the beach this summer, it doesn't take long for the waves to just knock it down, right? That's what happens when you build on sand. The bigger question is, so what's the illustration mean? I mean, what's the spiritual meaning here? Well, like all parables, there's kind of an earthly story and a heavenly meaning. So in this case, the house represents the man's life. And the storm represents not only the trials that we go through on this side of the grave, but really the big storm at the very end, right? The major trial that we will face before the throne of God. When people, in effect, build their lives on the solid foundation, they survive judgment day. When they don't, well, they don't. The question is, who is the one who built on the rock? In real life, who is that? Well, Jesus tells us, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Right? There's the key. Both builders heard the word. Only one of them put it into practice. That's why Jesus calls him wise. But now we still got to dig a little deeper. I mean, exactly what does Jesus mean by put his words into practice? I mean, what does that mean to you? I expect some might say, well, I think Jesus means, you know, we shouldn't let his word just like go in one ear and out the other. Actions speak louder than words. Right? We shouldn't say we're followers and never obey Jesus. We shouldn't act one way on Sunday and a totally different way the rest of the week. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? James chapter 1 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Well, that's certainly a true statement, right? God doesn't want us to be hypocrites. He doesn't want our actions to be inconsistent with our confession. He wants us to obey his commandments in our lives. But is that what Jesus is saying in this text? I mean, when Jesus talks about the man who fails to put his words into action, building on sand and therefore being destroyed at the end, does that mean that anybody who doesn't put his words into practice is doomed? Is he saying if we don't walk the walk as well as talk the talk, we will be destroyed on the last day? No, actually, that's not what Jesus means. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. If your eternal security and mine was dependent on us doing everything that Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, what hope would you have of heaven? I mean, remember what the Sermon on the Mount is about. It's all about what God demands of us. In fact, Jesus sums it all up with this statement. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not just try your best to be perfect. No, be perfect. If your eternal security is built on doing everything that Jesus says in his word, you don't have any eternal security, and either do I. Fortunately, that's not what Jesus means in this section. He's not really talking about how we live our lives. And why do I say that? Well, the original language gives us a little clue here. Literally, Jesus says, the one who hears my words and does them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. So what's the one thing that God would have us do to make sure that we are not destroyed on the last day? Well, remember what he said just before our text? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, exactly what is the will of Jesus' Father in heaven? Fortunately, Jesus tells us clearly. He says in John chapter 6, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. So in other words, when it comes to our standing with God on the last day, it's not about what we do. It's about what we believe. It's about who we believe. It's not about what we do for God. It's about what he has already done for us in Christ. The grace he has shown to us in Jesus. The redemption he's won for us in Jesus. The faith that he's worked in our hearts in Jesus. It's what God has done for us that gives us certainty on the last day. In fact, you remember what Jesus told the Jews who came to him and said, hey, what do we need to do the work of God? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now, do you understand what Jesus means by the one who built his life on the rock? He's not talking about whether the person did everything Jesus said to do in his life. He's talking about building on something way more certain than that. What did St. Paul say? No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. When you think about the words that God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Let's face it, we're all going to build a house through the course of our lives. The question is, what are we going to build it on? There is a whole lot of sand out there that people are tempted to build on, lies that people are tempted to believe. And in Bible class, we're going to study 10 of those lies over the next 2 weeks. But when it comes right down to it, the only sure and certain foundation that we can build our lives on for time and eternity is Jesus. Jesus is the rock solid foundation. His blood and righteousness on our behalf is what guarantees that when our final hour comes, we are not going to go down in a great crash. Instead, we are going to stand holy and righteous before God, and God is going to move our house into his really big house, the mansion of glory. God, keep us in his grace until that blessed, glorious day. Amen.
My dad is made, and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.